The Rift. Lou. The mist enveloped us later that afternoon. We dismounted into it at the edge of the pass, glancing around for signs of life. Constantine had died. Did that mean the waters held no guardian? Could we simply walk to shore? Should we? Beau, Celie, and Jean-Luc, you should all stay here just in case, I whispered. Isla's magic protected you before, but we don't know if she'll extend the same courtesy this time. I'll take the ring to her. I looked to Coco. Will you come too? Without a word, she looped her arm through mine in an admirable effort of normalcy. But there was nothing normal about this place, nothing normal about how we simultaneously bent to draw knives from our boots. Despite the daylight hour, smoke still clouded the sun, and mist darkened the land to perpetual twilight. The latter clung to us as we stepped forward, dense as water, and limited our visibility, which was why we both shrieked when Reed's hand snaked out and caught my elbow.
Don't even think about it.
I shook him off with an indignant cry. Don't do that! If you want to tag along, fine, but announce yourself next time. I could have chopped off your hand. Coco's eyes narrowed. He might plan worse. He glared at her, the fog undulating around his towering frame.
I don't trust either of you. You aren't leaving my sight.
You aren't exactly endearing yourself to us, Coco said, poisonously sweet.
I have a Balisarda. There could be witches here.
Oh, there are witches here. He gritted his teeth.
Manon could have told them what we stole. They could be waiting.
She pretended to consider this for a moment before shrugging. Fine, as long as you don't stick that Balisarda into me instead. It was a mark of how far they'd both come that she turned her back on him, pulling me forward. He followed without comment. We walked the path as quietly as possible, listening for any sound, but there were none. Not the rustle of leaves, or the crash of waves, or the cries of gulls. No, this silence was a living creature all its own, unnatural and thick and oppressive. When we stepped onto the beach, we hesitated, blinking into the abrupt sunlight and standing closer together than we normally would have. Do we just throw the ring in, or... As if my whisper had broken some sort of spell, Angelica materialized from the water like a specter, silent and ethereal, water streaming from her gown of pure silver. When her eyes landed on Coco, her tranquil face broke into a breathtaking smile. Cosette! You've returned! I told you I would! Tugging the golden ring from my hand, I hastily extended it to her. Here, it's yours. Thank you, Louise. Her smile faded as she examined the simple band in her palm. Though it sparkled innocently in the sun, we both knew better. Its history had been forged in death and magic until the two had become one. It has been a long time since I've seen this ring. Regretfully, her eyes lifted to Coco. Almost 20 years, in fact. Does this mean Isla agrees to help us? I asked. She ignored me, instead moving to clasp Coco's hands. Daughter, events have been set in motion. I fear this is the last opportunity we shall have to speak. Coco pulled away half-heartedly. I told you I don't want to talk. You must. No. Angelica dropped her voice to a fervent whisper, drawing closer, but in the silence her voice still carried. We heard every word. Please understand. I never wanted to leave you, but the thought of you trapped underwater for your entire life, like a fish in a bowl, examined and admired and wooed. I couldn't bear it. You deserved so much more. Believe me, I have watched you always, desperate to join you on the surface. Now Coco did tear her hands away. So why didn't you? You know that answer. I know you're afraid. You're right. Angelica continued to whisper. I abandoned you to a cruel woman in hopes that she would love you, that she would give you the tools to chart your own path, and she did. You outgrew her. You've outgrown us both. Talk to me, Shas, I hissed, wishing desperately that Beau hadn't thieved my earplugs. He regarded me with open suspicion.
About what?
Anything. Whatever comes to... You can try to justify it all you'd like. Coco didn't bother to lower her voice. How many times did I visit this beach, crying for you? How many times did you ignore me? You would have lived a half-life with me, Cosette.
I wanted more for you.
Unable to help myself, I glanced behind to see Coco staring at her mother incredulously.
What about what I wanted, Maman? You and Tante. All either of you have ever cared about is this stupid feud. I'm the collateral damage, aren't I? I'm the one who suffers.
We all have suffered,
Angelica said sharply.
Do not mistake me, Cosette. Your aunt and I were among the very first of which kind. Yes.
She nodded at Coco's dumbfound expression.
I have lived 100 lives, perhaps more even. Time passed differently then.
To me, she lifted an impatient hand.
Come, Louise Leblanc, you should hear this too. A battle brews on the horizon more catastrophic than this world has ever seen, and we must all play our parts. This is mine.
I crept closer tentatively.
We really don't have time for this.
Morgana's already started for Caesarine.
If you wish to defeat your mother and my sister, you will make time.
Her tone brooked no argument, and in the next second she'd drawn a thin blade from her sleeve, slicing it across the palm of each hand. Her blood spilled thick upon the sand, and from it black vines curled upward into the shape of chairs. She pointed to them, blood still trickling down her wrists. Tiny blooms of purple aconite sprouted where it dripped to the beach.
Sit now. I will not ask again.
Aconite meant caution. I grabbed Reed's sleeve and forced him to sit, sinking into my own chair without further argument. Opposite me, Coco did the same, and Angelica stood in the center of our macabre little circle. She pivoted slowly to look each of us directly in the eyes.
This is your story, all of yours. So listen now and listen well. In the beginning, magic lived within all witches. Yes, you heard me correctly, Louise, she added when I tried to interrupt. Though you call us Dame Rouge now, your ancestors' magic was closer to ours than to yours. It coursed through their blood, hummed in their veins. They lived in harmony with nature, never taking more than they gave and never defying the natural way. They lived, they died, they thrived.
She bowed her head.
I was one of these original witches, as was my twin sister, Josephine.
What happened? Coco whispered. Angelica sighed.
What always happens? In time, some among us desired more, more power, more freedom, more life. When a sect of my kin began experimenting with death, a great rift rose between us.
Angelica knelt before Coco now, clasping her hands once more.
Your aunt was among them. I pleaded with Josephine to turn back, to forget this obsession with immortality. But when I caught her eating an infant's heart, I could ignore her sickness no longer. I had to act.
A new vine crept up Coco's chair from Angelica's tears. Like the aconite, its petals bloomed purple. But this wasn't aconite at all. It was deadly nightshade.
I forbade my sister from returning to Chateau Leblanc.
You live there? I asked in astonishment.
We all did. That is what I'm trying to tell you, Louise. This is the great rift between Dame Blanche and Dame Rouge. Though I forbade Josephine from returning, she did not heed my warning, instead gathering the like-minded and organizing a rebellion.
Shuddering, she pushed to her feet, and the belladonna vine slithered higher, curling around the back of Coco's chair.
I've never seen such blood.
I stared at her, heart pounding, as another memory resurfaced. Blood running as a river from the temple, soaking the hair and hems of fallen witches in its path. The rift. And suddenly it made sense. I hadn't seen Coco within this memory at all. I'd seen Angelica. Angelica had been the faceless woman. She closed her eyes now.
They killed them. Our kin. Our mothers and sisters and aunts and nieces, all gone within a single night, butchered like animals. Despite everything, however, Josephine couldn't kill me, not after our blood oath.
She couldn't torture you, I said in dawning realization.
No, but she could banish me, and she did so without hesitation. We would not meet again for many years.
Her hands shifted to her elbows, and she seemed to bow into herself.
I watched from afar as her Dame Rouge reaped their just rewards, as they realized the steep cost of their victory. All witchlings born after the massacre held no magic within them. Whether their slain sisters or the goddess herself had cursed them, I do not know. Forced to draw their magic from the land and follow the natural order, their daughters,
The first Dame Blanche soon outnumbered their foremothers. My sister's influence dwindled as her experiments continued, growing darker and darker in nature. The Dame Blanche grew suspicious of her, and when the time was right, I capitalized on their hatred, on their fear, returning to the chateau and driving Josephine from the throne. Shooting to my feet, I began to pace, my thoughts sporadic and incomplete. But I didn't know you were a blood witch. No one ever knew. I guarded the secret jealously for fear of persecution, concealing the truth of my magic with painstaking effort. I was a coward. I always have been, but in the end it mattered not. When I leapt to my doom in L'eau Melancolique, Isla saved me, or rather, she saved my ring. She rubbed her thumb along the band. My magic. Without it, I am not whole, and without me, neither is L'eau Melancolique. For this reason, Isla wishes me to avoid involvement in your war. She does not understand that it is my war as well. Voice raw with unshed emotion, Coco whispered, If Josephine dies, you will too. Her words sank like bricks in my stomach. Abruptly, Angelica turned, her knife a blur as she slashed the nightshade from coiling around Coco's neck. I gasped, Reed startled, and Coco leapt to her feet with a small shriek. None of us had noticed its creeping tendrils, the fruits of Angelica's grief and anger. When she spoke, her voice was soft. We must all play our parts. Coco stared at her. I crossed the circle to squeeze Coco's hand. Does this mean Isla won't join us? Angelica's hand closed around her ring. Isla is many things. Brushing past us, she glided toward the waters. Her chairs of vine withered as Reed joined us, and her aconite flowers blackened to wisps of ash. But she is not a liar. You returned my ring, and you bested Morgan. You have proven yourself a worthy ally, Louise. Though she cannot directly intervene in the events to come, she allows her Melusine to choose for themselves whether to walk by your side in Caesarine. She allows me to choose. Will they? I asked. Will you? Coco asked at the same time. She inclined her head. I will lead the willing to Caesarine myself in 3 days' time.
What's in 3 days? Reed said, his voice strained.
Angelica merely continued toward the waters, which remained calm and still. At their edge, she drew to a graceful halt, clasping her hands at her waist. The oracle offers a final gift. When 3 iron chalices materialized before us, dread bloomed in my belly. Reed's brows dipped low, and he knelt swiftly to examine one. Drink of the waters, Angelica said, and you shall see.